Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks so much for tuning in. Glad that you have made the choice to listen in today. It's going to be a great hour as we talk with one of our favorite Bible teachers heard every day on Faith Radio about a new story that he's written that really is one of the best stories ever, because this represents one part of the gospel, or one part of the Easter story, that most clearly shows the heart of the gospel. Now, if I say that, Ted, what are you thinking? There's one...
The heart.
Yeah.
Well, the resurrection, I would think, right? Yeah. The hope of the resurrection.
This is just a couple of verses in Luke. Mm-hmm. It's about Jesus' encounter with one of the thieves on the cross.
So a new story written in the greatest story ever told.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, it is a great story. In fact, there's an audio version of this story that has been produced by Unlocking the Bible. And Stephen Baldwin voices this. And we're going to actually hear this audio. We'll hear some clips of it today. But the full story, it's a two-hour special. We're going to run this Saturday night, 5 o'clock here on Faith Radio.
That'll be something to tune in for sure. Yeah. Saturday night, the 26th here, Saturday, as you said. 2 hours. And this is the time of year where we're hearing a lot of passion stories, too, depictions of it. We've seen on TV recently, I think, in film and everything else, too, right now. This is the time of year people are willing, maybe, to talk about the gospel a little more.
We've had an opportunity this week to focus, you know, on this very important week in our church calendar, talking about suffering, talking about what it was like in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover and Jesus' crucifixion. And I hope that as you hear today's conversation, you'll be reminded again of the kind of life-changing story this really is.
Yeah, I'm always moved. Today, Maundy, Thursday, of course. And in the past, I grew up in the Lutheran tradition. My dad, a Lutheran pastor, and very moving to go, even at a young age, to see the altar stripped on Maundy, Thursday evening, kind of commemorating the Last Supper and everything. But then that symbolism about what's about to happen to Jesus, the arrest is coming. The trial and the passion story plays out on Good Friday and the crucifixion, but then the hope of Easter is all the more sweet. Having reflected on all of that, the hope comes on that Sunday morning, and it's just pure joy.
Well, I hope that as you listen to today's conversation with our dear friend, Pastor Colin Smith from The Orchard, and you hear him on Unlocking the Bible, that you'll be reminded again of the power of the gospel as it's told in this story. We're going to hear just a little highlight right now from Stephen Baldwin.
Not many men open their eyes in the morning knowing it's their last day on earth. This is it. This is the day I die. Looking back, the entire day and how it ended still blows my mind.
That's just the opening line to this wonderful story. In fact, there's an audio version of it recorded by Stephen Baldwin that is available at unlockingthebible.org, and we'll hear just a little bit more of that as we go throughout our time together. I want to introduce Colin Smith. You know him as the teaching voice on Unlocking the Bible, the program that's heard each weekday morning at 8 a.m. here on Faith Radio. He's senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a multi-campus church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. The mission of the church calls Christians to put down deep roots into the Word of God, to live life through the Spirit of God, and bring forth fruit and service for God. And we're just honored to have Colin with us. He's heard on Unlocking the Bible, as I mentioned, and he's written several books. He was born and raised in Edinburgh, Scotland, and we're honored to have him back with us on Connecting Faith. Colin, welcome back. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Neil. It's always fun to be with you on the program. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, the book, Heaven, How I Got There, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, I'm interested in your interest in this particular story. I mean, obviously, you've probably been preaching Easter services for years, and, you know, we always want, you know, is there a different perspective we can take? Because, you know, we've heard the message, many of us, but what was your interest in these few verses?
Well, I think two things. One is that the story of the thief on the cross has seemed to me to be the clearest and most useful story for helping people to understand the heart of the gospel and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think many people have the idea that if we were to get to heaven, it would be by living a good enough life. And clearly the thief hadn't done that, and he wasn't in a position to do it. And so that really kind of rocks that whole concept and opens a person's mind to say, well, then how does a person get into heaven, since quite clearly Jesus promised that to him? So I've used that many, many times over the years to help people grasp faith in Christ. The other thing was just the aha moment of realizing that the thief died after Jesus. We know that because the soldiers came to break the legs of the criminals, and when they came to do that, Jesus had already died. And so what that means is that the thief on the cross heard not only the words Jesus spoke about, today you'll be with me in paradise, but he heard all the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And so it seemed to me this was a good way to be able to explain the story that really matters, which is what Jesus accomplished there on the cross for all who believe in him.
Well, maybe just to say a little bit about the book and mention, too, about the audio as well. It's a little under 100 pages, but, I mean, it only takes a couple of verses in Luke's gospel or the other gospel accounts. I mean, there's a lot of story where there's not a lot in the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. But two things to that. First, we don't know exactly how he became a thief. We can be reasonably sure he was Jewish, therefore that he would have been brought up with some knowledge of God and that he had rebelled against it. So I wrote a kind of backstory, a short backstory about the way in which this guy turns away from the way in which he's brought up and turns to a life in which clearly he doesn't fear God because he becomes a thief. But then what we do know is what happened when he was on the cross. And it isn't just these verses that we're given, because he was living throughout the rest of these hours where Jesus was speaking extraordinary words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It is finished. The thief heard all of that. And so he really was an eyewitness to these critical hours in which redemption was accomplished by the Son of God on the cross.
Have you thought about why this exchange was included in the gospel accounts? I mean, there are many things that took place in Jesus' earthly life that didn't get into the gospels. Why this one?
Yeah. Well, this is surely one of the most dramatic stories of a conversion anywhere in the Bible. I mean, you think of other ones that might lay claim to that. You've got Saul of Tarsus and other stories. But think about this man's story. He's on the last day of his life. As Spurgeon said on one occasion, that this man had breakfast with the devil and he had supper with the Savior. Well, I mean, that is an amazing transformation. And I think this story is in the Bible because it reminds us that it is never too late to trust in Jesus Christ, that grace extends from Christ to any person, however far from him, however long they've been away from him. Grace extends from Jesus Christ to any person who trusts him. And it's a marvelous story for that reason and for many others.
You know, that hope, that wonderful promise that it's never too late, I guess, you know, sometimes maybe in the back of our minds we wonder, well, is it really? And maybe, you know, a skeptic would say, well, can you really build a theology in just, you know, one verse? How do we know it's really true?
Yeah, well, one verse of scripture that is clear is a good foundation for faith, but it's not as if this is the only verse that states the marvelous truth here. I mean, think of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's what happened to the thief. And his story illustrates this great, great theme of justification by faith that runs right through both the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures. You know, when folks have the idea that you would get into heaven if you'd lived a good enough Christian life, clearly this guy had not done that. And clearly he wasn't in a position to do it. There's no use saying to him, well, you better start, you know, praying and reading the Bible and going to church. He can't do these things. So how in the world does he enter into heaven? It's only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who extends this unmerited favor towards him and does it in the most dramatic way at the 11th hour of his life.
And I think that's still so hard for us to really comprehend, and really world religions, of course, are all built around that, right? We have to earn our way. I mean, how the thief, as you write about it, you know, asks that very question. Man, how is it possible to get to heaven without ever living the Christian life?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that is his story, really. He was justified and he was glorified. That is, he was made right with God. That's the meaning of justification. And he was brought into the presence of God. That's what happens in glorification. It happened on the same day. And so there could not be a clearer story to say that however important the Christian life is, and it's very important, we are not saved by our performance in the Christian life. Faith in Christ will lead to a new and a different life, and it would have led to that in the story of the thief. But ultimately, our standing before God rests on the word and the work of Jesus Christ, and we place ourselves wholly in his hands, trusting him to do for us what we cannot possibly do for ourselves.
This time of year is a time when there's a great interest in church, maybe more so than other times of those that maybe just casually go, tend to go at this season. And so we want to just address some of the real issues of faith. What does it mean to accept the grace that the God so freely offers in Jesus Christ? And we're getting the perspective from the story of the thief on the cross. It's a new book from Pastor Colin Smith called Heaven, How I Got There. And there's an audio series that goes along with it. In fact, we'll talk more about that in a moment. We're also going to address some of those important words of Jesus' statement when the thief asked, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What does that sound like from Jesus' perspective? We'll dive into those words in just a few minutes. Talking with Colin Smith, senior pastor of The Orchard in the suburbs of Chicago, and a Bible teacher on the program Unlocking the Bible.
I hated God. I hated his son. I was on the brink of hell. I could taste it already.
That's Stephen Baldwin as he narrates Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross. There's an audio version of that powerful reading of this amazing story. You can find it at unlockingthebible.org. And Colin Smith from Unlocking the Bible, the daily radio program heard here on Faith Radio, is with us. He's senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a multi-site campus church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. He's authored several books, and we're honored to have him with us today as we talk about the story of the thief on the cross. He had literally a front row seat. And the story, you can read about it in the gospel accounts. We hear his words in Luke. And, you know, as we ran that little clip from Stephen Baldwin, he talked about, you know, he hated God, he hated Romans. You know, you addressed that, the issue of there's a difference between believing in God and fearing God. Talk a little bit about that, Colin.
Yeah, well, at the beginning of the thief's ordeal, he clearly was pouring out invective against the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew tells us that both of the criminals were hurling abuse at him. And so one can imagine, out of the agony that this guy was experiencing and the hatred that he has towards Rome, that what's also pouring out from him is this hatred towards the Son of God. And he is hurling abuse at the Lord Jesus Christ. And at some point, a great change must have come over him, because he moves from that position of anger to saying to his colleague, "Don't you fear God?" There must have been some awareness of who God is that was in his background, but he pushed against it. He pushed away from it, as many, many people do. But at this point in his life, he came to realize, you know, I'm going to go into eternity. I'm going to stand in the presence of God. And what in the world am I doing now, shaking my fist, as it were, at God? Where is that going to get me? Now, this doesn't make any sense. And so there's a great change that comes over him.
Paul, and I'm wondering if there we would long. I know you, as a pastor, and all of us really would long that people would come to that change of heart before, yeah, you know, literally moments before their death. What does it take to bring about that change? And maybe what would you say to someone who is maybe stubbornly refusing to consider that?
Yeah, well, it's the Holy Spirit for sure that brings that change about. But I think that the stark reality of these two thieves, one either side of Jesus, and one writer said, put it this way, one was saved that so that no one should despair, and the other was lost so that no one should presume. It really matters that we come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no good to say, oh, well, yes, he died on the cross, so I guess everything will be all right. No, every person needs to come to faith and repentance towards God, and we do that through faith and repentance towards the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with us. And that's what one thief did, and the other one didn't. And so this really confronts us with the urgency of what it means to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
As you said, there was a change of heart. The thief, who had been hurling insults at Jesus before, changed his heart. He said, don't you fear God? And then that question, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Say a word about Jesus' response and the powerful words that, the impact of each of those words.
Yeah, well, he'd clearly come to realize some very important things about Jesus. He says to his colleague, this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. So he realized the innocence or the righteousness of Jesus. He also had an awareness that Jesus was the king. Remember, above his head was the sign that Pilate had written, this is the king of the Jews. And he refers to Jesus' kingdom. When you remember me when you come into your kingdom. So he must have assumed that the kingdom of Jesus was not in this world, that Jesus was dying, and that somewhere beyond this world he was going to have a kingdom. And if he remembered the abuse that the thief had hurled at him just a few moments earlier, the thief for sure would have been done for. So he says, Jesus, remember me, as he had spoken about fearing God. And Jesus says to him, literally, Neil translated, the first word Jesus said is, Amen. We have it in our Bibles as, I tell you the truth. But it's really, Amen. So shall it be. It's done. I tell you, I'm with you. Today you will be with me in paradise. It is the most amazing gift of grace given at the 11th hour to a person who was so far from having lived a godly life. This really shows us what grace is, and it tells us worlds about who Jesus is.
I love that. I mean, we could spend the whole hour, I guess, on each of those words, but say a word about today and then with me.
Yeah. Well, I suspect because the thief said, remember me, that he probably thought that Jesus' kingdom was somewhere far off, you know, in the remote mists of eternity, at some point in the vagaries of an eternal future, you know, that Jesus may come into a kingdom. And of course, Jesus, as it were, is saying to him, remember me? You don't need to worry about me remembering you. It's going to be today. There's going to be an immediate translation. You are going to be with me in paradise. And we know where paradise was because Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so we know that Jesus was in the presence of the Father, and Jesus is promising to the thief that he also will be with Jesus in the full joy, the paradise joy of the presence of the Father.
And the power of knowing that to be, you know, even though our body passes away, that we can be in God's presence. I mean, that is the power of truth that the gospel gives us, too, doesn't it?
It really is. And the thief is a marvelous example of what will happen to every believer. I mean, death is the separation of the soul and the body, or the spirit and the body. That's why it's such an awful thing, because it's the undoing of what God has joined together. Our life is the union of our body and our soul. But death is the separation of the soul from the body. And for a believer to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 8. And the thief really models this for us. His story really gives to us the first sample of what will be fulfilled in the life of every other Christian believer, everyone who trusts in Christ.
One of the issues that came up as I'm reading the book, Heaven, How I Got There, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross from Colin Smith. Why doesn't Jesus take every believer to heaven as soon as they trust him?
Yeah, well, that's a good question that kind of arises directly from this story. And, you know, I've heard it said, Neil, that, we're left here in order to get ready for heaven. Well, for a Christian believer, that can't be true, because you can't be more ready for heaven than the day you believe in Christ and are justified by faith, because that is what makes you ready for heaven. So what is the reason that we're left here? It has to be simply this, that Jesus Christ has work for us to do. And that's a very important reminder. Why am I alive here now? Because Jesus has work for me to do. If you're a Christian believer, you will never be more ready for heaven than the day that you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is work for him for you to do as long as you are here, and therefore to get after it is to fulfill the purpose of your life here in this world.
I'm glad he called in from Duluth, listening to Faith 90.5, and she asked, she said, do you think that if one of the thieves never mocked Jesus, would the other thief still respond in the same way and be asked to enter into the kingdom?
Well, that's an interesting question, because it gets to the means that God uses in a particular story to bring a person to faith in Christ. And the contributor to our programs drawing out that the story gives us the means. We can never quite tell, you know, if this hadn't happened, what would the outcome be? All that we know is that God, working through the circumstances of hours, dramatically brought this thief to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And whatever the circumstances that bring a person to saving faith in Jesus Christ, thank God that he's the one who gets us there, and that this man did get there. He trusted Jesus, and whatever a person's circumstances, that's the step that has to be taken.
Coming up in a moment, we'll ask Colin to sort of help describe that scene at Golgotha and give us a sense of what the mocking was like and all that, and what Jesus was enduring. But say a word just before our break about the audio of Heaven, How I Got Here. You've got that available at unlockingthebible.org.
Yes, both the book and e-book and the two CDs and also an audio download, they're all available at unlockingthebible.org. Stephen Baldwin's done a marvelous job, as your excerpts have shown in the program already, of reading this story. It takes about an hour and a half. It's going to be broadcast on many, many radio stations. I believe there are 2,000 broadcasts of this coming up in the next few days, and delighted to be able to get this into people's hands as a tool for sharing the gospel with others.
Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. That's our topic today. More with Colin Smith, pastor of The Orchard in suburban Chicago, and from Unlocking the Bible.
Welcome back to an encore presentation of the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired program.
dimensions, and Jesus experienced all of them on the cross. He was in conscious suffering. He was in blackest darkness. He was surrounded by demonic powers. He was bearing sin. He was under judgment. He was separated from the knowledge of the love of God. That is hell. I endured the pains of crucifixion, but I did not experience the agonies of hell. Jesus endured them for me, so that I would never have to know what they are like. The more I think about this, the more staggering it gets.
Stephen Baldwin reading from the audio version of Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. It's available at the website unlockingthebible.org. Pastor Colin Smith, the radio pastor on the daily program Unlocking the Bible, heard here in Faith Radio weekdays at 8 a.m., is a senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a multi-campus church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and Colin has written several books, and he's graced us with his presence today, and we're honored to have a conversation with him as we talk about the story of the thief on the cross. And this is a powerful little book that just reminds us of what took place those moments before Jesus died, and actually after he died, and we're getting a fresh perspective on this story that we may think we know well, but are learning more about it. And Colin, I'm wondering if you'd just, you know, give us a sense of what Jesus was going through as you heard Stephen talk about the what it was to be faced with hell for the sins of mankind. But maybe give us a sense of what was going on at the foot of the cross. I mean, the scriptures do talk about the mocking going on. Paint the picture for us a bit.
Yeah. Well, Jesus suffered on the cross for a total of 6 hours. He was crucified at 9 a.m, and he died at 3 p.m. And there were really two phases of his suffering. The first 3 hours were dominated, as you say, by the mocking of the crowd. You have people saying, you know, he saved others, he can't save himself, calling on him to come down from the cross, does God really want him, and so forth and so on. So there's all this mockery. Jesus is suffering at the hands of his enemies, both physically and in all of this abuse. And in that, he says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. He speaks the word to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And, of course, the wonderful word of kindness and love to his mother with regards to John caring for her, mother, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. But after that, you have darkness coming at noon across the whole land, the Bible says. And the significance of what happened in the next 3 hours takes us to the very heart of what was happening at the cross, because here Jesus becomes our sin bearer. The Bible says he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And in the darkness, he became the sacrifice. He bore our sins. He suffered the punishment that was due to our sins. Isaiah speaks about this. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And it's there in the darkness that he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here's the Son of God who has enjoyed the knowledge of the love of the Father-Son relationship for all eternity. And now it's beyond his reach to know that. And he cries out in the agony of it. So Jesus endured everything that hell is on the cross, and he did that there so that we who believe in him should never, never know what it is like.
So did God really forsake Jesus on the cross?
My God, why have you forsaken me? The Father never stopped loving the Son, but the knowledge of the Father's love was beyond the reach of the Son. And he's, as it were, suspended between heaven and earth, and he's rejected by both because he is the sin bearer. And that's what it meant for him to become our Savior. So the thief on the cross suffered in physical terms the same pains of crucifixion as Jesus did. But Jesus was unique in that he experienced not only the suffering of this awful, torturous death, but he suffered at the same time what the Bible calls the second death, that is the judgment of God upon sin as he stood in our place and bore this so that we should never know what it's like. I like to put it this way, Neil, that for those who are in Christ, Christ carried our sins into his death so that we would not carry them into ours. And that's the great achievement of the cross. Jesus did this for the thief who was the first to believe, and he does that on behalf of all who will believe.
Would the Jews, the Jewish people, the high priests and others, would they understand the darkness there? I mean, you, in the book Heaven, How I Got Here, you sort of reference back to the plagues of Egypt. I'd kind of forgotten about that, but.
Yeah, well, of course, that's the background. Now, how many of them would have realized that at that time? I don't know. Some would have realized it later. Remember, many of the people who would have been at the cross on Good Friday were also present at Pentecost. And sometimes you find that things that were seeds that were planted in a person's life at one point come to harvest and to bear good fruit at another point. But yes, Neil, the background to the darkness is in the story of the plagues, darkness that could be felt, the Bible says. And what a phrase that is. Darkness that could be felt covered the land of Egypt immediately before the death of the firstborn. And here you have the darkness that is covering the land that is immediately before the death of the very Son of God, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Now, we're talking about this powerful account of the thief on the cross who had a firsthand look at Jesus' sacrificial death on our behalf. Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross, written by Colin Smith, pastor at the Orchard in suburban Chicago and a host on the daily radio program Unlocking the Bible. Colin, it seems like there's maybe a deception of the enemy to get us to believe that there's no hope for me. I mean, the thief obviously could look back in his life during his hanging on the cross himself and realize that he hadn't lived a very godly life. He didn't deserve heaven. So talk about that that deception that says there's no hope for me.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the wonderful uses of this story for all of us today. If the thief on the cross can enter into paradise, then there is hope for every person who will turn in faith and in repentance to Jesus Christ. And it is never too late. I mean, not only had this guy clearly not lived a life that was pleasing to God, he's in no position to do it. I mean, what can he do? His hands and his feet are fixed to the cross. He can't turn over a new leaf. He's out of time. There is no hope for him in religion. There's no use in saying to him, you know, well, you've got to start having a life of prayer and reading the Bible and going to church. Well, all of these things are good and right and would have been the right things to do if he had still lived. But he's at the end of his life. And what hope is there for such a person? Well, there is hope in Jesus Christ and in his grace because of what he has accomplished on the cross. And he shows his readiness to extend this grace to anybody who will come to him by the way in which he responds to the thief. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Well, that opens the door of hope. So I want to say to every person who will listen from this story, there is hope for you in Jesus Christ. It is never too late. You have never been too far from God to come back. There is never a better time to come and to trust Jesus Christ than now. And you can be sure from his word that whoever comes to him, he says, I will never drive them away. That's a wonderful hope.
Well, I wonder if there's maybe the opposite side of that coin, too. Maybe it's a belief that we don't speak out loud, but maybe the deep down we think, well, I'm good enough on my own. I don't need God. I mean, you address it, you know, the issue of hatred toward God, and we think, well, I don't really hate God. But so talk about that side of it.
Yes. One of the things that strikes me, Neil, is that at the cross, you have the whole of the moral spectrum of humanity represented. You have the thief on the cross, who clearly has lived a lawless life, and very openly so. But then just at the foot of the cross, you have Mary, the mother of our Lord, this godly woman. And Jesus speaks that word to her with reference to John, Mother, behold your son. And then to John, he says, Son, behold your mother. And what's the point of that? Why does Jesus say that in his agony at the cross? Well, it's telling us that the relationship between Jesus and Mary is changing. For these 33 years, he has been her son. She gave him birth, brought him into the world, gave birth to the Son of God. But she is not going to be saved because Jesus is her son. She's going to be saved in exactly the same way as the thief on the cross, because Jesus is her savior. And so Jesus is saying to her, now you have to regard John as your son. Jesus has a new relationship with Mary. And she anticipated this in the song that she sang when the angel announced the birth of Jesus. She rejoiced in God, my savior. So Jesus Christ is the savior of all people. Wherever you are on the moral spectrum, every person needs a savior. And that savior is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Powerful encouragement and challenge today as we consider Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, our Savior. We're getting the perspective from the thief on the cross. The story of the thief on the cross is subtitle for the new book from Colin Smith called Heaven, How I Got Here. Unlockingthebible.org is the website. So you want to find out more about their great ministry and this wonderful resource. We'll come back, talk a bit about some of the words of Christ, including the significance of his final cry. We'll get to that in a moment with Colin Smith here on Connecting Faith.
We're back now to the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired Encore presentation.
Begins with a decision, a commitment, and a prayer. But it's more than that. Trusting Jesus is a way of life. Looking back, I see that I wasted my years on earth. I lived for myself. I failed to love God. But that changed when I met Jesus Christ. It's not so much that you are living for something. You are living for someone. The one who loved you and gave himself for you. The one that you are going to share the unending joys of heaven with. The one who one day will welcome you into heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Stephen Baldwin, with just a short little excerpt from the audio reading of Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. It's available through the website unlockingthebible.org. And you can find that audio and just listen to the story. You can also get a copy of the book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, written by our guest today, Colin Smith, pastor at The Orchard, and host on the daily Bible teaching program, Unlocking the Bible. And Colin, the message is really one that we maybe for some have heard so many times we can't quite believe it's true, I guess, that Jesus would have sacrificed himself for us. I mean, I think there are many people that say, well, you know, why did Jesus have to die? What difference does that really make? And one person's death, 2,000 years ago, how does that affect me today?
Yes, but the one person is the Son of God. And what he did in his death is he provided the sacrifice for sins. That absolutely transforms death and it transforms life. I mean, the default death for a human being is to pass into the condemnation of God. The difference between passing into the condemnation of God because you're carrying your own sins into death and passing into the presence of God, into paradise, into the joy of knowing God as your Father because Jesus took your sins from you at the cross and has carried them into his death. That transformation of death is beyond words to be able to describe. It is the most amazing gift of grace. And not only is it a transformation of death, but it's also a transformation of life. I mean, the scripture says that Jesus died, that we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. So that the default mode of human death is to go into condemnation. The default mode of human life is to live for ourselves. All that changes. Instead of passing into condemnation, we come into the joy of the Lord. And instead of living for ourselves, we live for him who loved us and gave himself for us. So this is the most transforming thing that has ever happened in the entire history of the human race. And we will spend eternity trying to take in the wonder of what Jesus Christ accomplished for his people on the cross.
So glad to have had just a little time today to just reflect on this powerful account, and you can read about it in the Gospels and in this wonderful little book called Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. Colin, the thief reflects, as you mentioned right at the outset, he heard all of Jesus' final words. Jesus was dead before he died. Say a few things about what he said, those seven last words we think of, and then particularly about his final cry. Talk about the significance of that.
Yes, right at the end, Jesus said two things that when you put the evidence of the Gospels together, he must have said right back to back. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And the thing that's so striking to me about this, Neil, is that the scripture says he spoke these words with a loud voice. Now, I've been with people as a pastor when they have been very close to death, where they have died. And I've never heard anyone speak their last words with a loud voice. That just never happens. What happens is that the human voice becomes weaker and weaker as a person has less and less strength. It's down to a whisper, and then they expire. They can no longer continue. But Jesus spoke his last words with a loud voice. And the reason for this, of course, is that Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. He entered death, not because he had run out of strength. He entered death as a king walks into triumph in a place where he is conquering. That's what our Jesus did. He entered death into triumph, into death in triumph, and of course the proof of that was the resurrection on the third day on Easter morning. And so this is a most marvelous, marvelous Savior that we have, and we have every reason to trust him.
Colin, maybe just as a pastor who's been committed to teaching the Bible for many years, how can we come to this weekend and read the story perhaps and see it with fresh eyes, maybe just even paying attention to just that phrase in a loud voice? I mean, how can we read the story that is familiar to many of us, maybe too familiar, so that we really see it in the impact it has?
Well, the first thing I would say to people is just please read the story. I mean, it's amazing how often people will say, well, I know this story and therefore will not actually read it. Read the story of the cross. Read it slowly. Reflect on it. Take in what is being said here. Ask God to speak to you through it and reflect on it. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible is the living word of God. And however long you have known it and however well you have known it, you will find that God brings fresh light to you, fresh power to you in terms of all that is being accomplished here as you saturate yourself in the word of God. And the people who do this most will testify to it most strongly. Now, I've been studying the scripture all of my life, and I still am amazed that I sit down, I ask God to open my eyes, and I see things, and things strike me in fresh ways, and I'm so grateful, because there's communion with God as he speaks to us through his word, and then as we respond back in prayer.
Well, Andrew from Fridley had called and just give you a chance to maybe just sort of reiterate what we talked about, that, you know, the thief couldn't physically do anything to redeem himself. I mean, that he,
yes,
there was nothing he could do to change his life around. And I'm thinking that's really at the heart of the gospel message compared to world religions, right? This is why grace is so profound.
Yeah. Every religion in the world says, here is what you must do in order to be right, in order to have life, and so forth. And then there will be a list of things that have to be done. Only the gospel says, here is what someone else has done. That's the huge difference, that the gospel brings to us what Jesus Christ has done. It presents to us a Savior who is able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's the great significance of his word, it is finished. You know, we look at our lives and say, what have we finished? We've certainly not finished everything that God has called us to do, and we never will. But he has. He's done for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and he is what God has called us to be, and we haven't been it. And that's grace. That's a Savior, and he is the Lord, and his name is Jesus.
Colin, we have about 2 minutes left. Would you just offer a closing prayer to those of maybe wrestling with this issue today, or just to encourage us in our faith, or for others that don't know, have never experienced this grace, just to offer a prayer in closing, would you?
I'd be glad to do that. Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ you have revealed your love and your grace towards every person. We thank you that you have made clear that no matter how far from you, and no matter how long that has been, that when a person turns and comes to you in repentance and in faith, there is grace that flows from the Savior who was crucified. Thank you that your Son, Jesus, went to the cross, that he bore the sins of all who will believe, that he rose in triumph, and he stands as the living Savior who's ready to receive all who will come. May many come in a new and in a fresh way today. And will you use the gospel presented by your people in multiple ways so that many may be drawn to Christ, and may the Savior have all the glory? For these things we ask in his name. Amen.
Amen. We love hearing you daily on Unlocking the Bible. So appreciate your great ministry there. Thank you for that, too.
Well, likewise, you love Faith Radio. So appreciate your folks, and grateful for the partnership we share together. God bless you, Neil.
Colin Smith, you hear him every day on Unlocking the Bible, and I look forward to hearing this very special account of heaven, how I got here, the story of the thief on the cross dramatically portrayed, coming up this Saturday night.
5 to 7 p.m. this Saturday night. Don't miss this wonderful presentation.
I hope you've enjoyed the conversation we've had this past hour. By the way, if you missed part of it, you want to hear it again. Of course, we post all our interviews online, so you can go to the show page, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And you can hear this and other interviews and conversations we had. And, of course, everything's shareable, so you can pass it on to a friend. And maybe, Ted, this is a good time to pass on this story, because Colin clearly presents the gospel as it's portrayed in this powerful story.
Especially if you've had faith conversations maybe with a coworker or a family member, somebody that is curious and seeking, this is a great tool to use to further the conversation and introduce them to Jesus.
Yeah. Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief and the Cross. Again, if you'd like to get the audio version or the book, you can order that through the Unlocking the Bible website, unlockingthebible.org. And we'll have a link up on our website as well. And then again, be sure to listen this Saturday night at 5 o'clock for the two-hour radio special, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. Ted, blessed Easter to you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Likewise to you as well, and our listeners.
You've been listening to Connecting Faith.